Aloha from historic Fort Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone. It is Thursday, December 16, 2004, and you are listening to a special edition of the Geek News Central Podcast. Coming to you, of course, from Honolulu, Hawaii, where it is about 2:43 in the afternoon here. It's an absolutely wonderful day. I know a few of you from the UK have complained about me talking about it being a beautiful day, but the sun is shining and a few clouds in the sky, and we're probably going to get a little rain shower here in the afternoon, which will last 20 or 30 minutes, but otherwise, it's absolutely wonderful outside. I have this reason for this special edition is I have Hector Santos from Santronic Software out of Homestead, Florida, on the line. He is standing by to be cut in here for an interview that I'm going to have with him on his product that is WinServer. Now, many of you have heard me talk about Wildcat Interactive Net Server in the past and how I have raved about it. And I just want to bring you more details. I know a number of you have asked for more details, so we're going to bring that to you. Now, a little disclaimer, I have beta tested for Santronics since they have had control of the product. And I have also have been a reseller for them. Now, my reselling activities are very, very low. We don't actively pursue it, but once in a while we'll get someone that's looking for the product and we'll get a sale. This interview is in by no means a way for me to make money. I want you guys to make sure that you go over to Santronics directly if you're interested in their product and deal directly with them. So that way that we won't have a conflict of interest here, so that I'm not trying to sponge off you guys, so that you don't take it the wrong way. But that being said, I do have a real sponsor. So without further ado, I'm going to cut into our sponsorship clip here, and I'll be right back.
Blogging, welcome to the year 2005. RightClick has released the first 100% WYSIWYG blogging software, available at www.rightclick.com.au. It is fully Windows-based and does everything you would expect from a Windows application. Features like drag and drop, saving files locally, working offline, and it's easy to use. As long as you can upload your files, nothing is required on the server. All the FTPing is built into the Publish button. Take a look at www.rightclick.com.au and you will see software that lets you embed images in your blog entry just as if you put them in a document. No more IMG tags, just insert the picture. Our software isn't for Robert Scoble or Dave Wiener. They already know how to do all the complex stuff. Simply write what you want to publish, attach images and files just as you were sending email, and then click Publish. Even your brother can publish now. Everything is 100% WYSIWYG. You can use the inbuilt style sheets or style sheets compatible with Movable and other popular blogging tools. There is no more need to edit HTML tags. You won't even know they ever existed. Even if you are hooked on your current server software, maybe you know someone who is willing to try our software. They'll be happy they did. We have an extensive trial period and pay a 25% commission, or more if you mention Geek News Central. www.rightclick.com.au. Don't forget the little AU at the end for Australia. We will even give you a free Gmail account while supplies last.
And of course, we want to say thank you to rightclick.com.au for being our sponsor. And they will get one extra show this. They'll actually get an advertisement and one extra show this week because we're having a special. And we want to encourage any of you that want to advertise on the Geek News Central podcast to contact me at geek@geeknewscentral.com, and we'll see about getting you in the show. Also, that is a great place to send comments, and you can also Skype me at Geek News Central or leave a comment on the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. As an administrative note, we will have a regular show available for you tomorrow morning. You may have gotten both of these at the same time, but there is going to be a regular Friday show, and we're going to be sticking to the same schedule, Tuesdays and Fridays. But because the interview runs about 30 minutes, I wanted to get this in so that we could have a regularly scheduled program tomorrow. And without further ado, I'm going to turn a line on here. And everybody check this out. I think you're going to like what Hector has to say.
On the phone with me today, I have Hector Santos from Santronics Software down in Homestead, Florida. How are you today, Hector?
Doing quite well. Thank you very much, Tom.
For those of you that are not familiar with Santronics, Santronics is the owner and basically the company that takes care of the Wildcat Interactive Net Server, and Hector's the president of the company and also their primary programmer. And what I have him on the phone today is I want to talk to him about Wildcat. Some of you that are listening to the program may be familiar with Wildcat from the days of dialing up on BBSs, and some of you may be familiar with Wildcat today, where most of the systems are now on the Internet. But if I could, Hector, why don't you give yourself a short introduction and maybe a history of Wildcat and of Santronics.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on the show here. Wildcat is a.k.a. WinServer, as it's known today. Has its beginning as one of the early BBS systems during the DOS days in the 1980s. It was a typical BBS or bulletin board system that had a user database, mail database, file database for uploads and downloads, newsletters, bulletins, user groups, mail conferences, and typically you had to log into these systems. And it sounds familiar to what we have today, but these were basically text-based systems before graphics and browsers and graphical interface interaction with the host-based system. And it would mostly dial up. You would dial into these systems, and because of that, they were naturally social networks, your early forms of the social network, because a local community of users would dial into these systems. The Internet basically introduced worldwide connectivity to host systems, so it allowed not only dial-up, but people connected to the Internet from across the nation and across the world, basically. So basically what I was doing during those early days was writing DORs. Today's, we call these server-side scripts, like CGI. I wrote a DOR that allowed people to dial in and collect mail, download it to their PC, and read it offline. That's like a POP3's client or a Outlook Express type application today.
Correct.
Back then, it was like really perfect because you dial into the system. There was a cost behind that, so you didn't want to stay online reading and replying to mail. Downloading it was a big benefit, and it took off. And it was basically my claim to fame there. And I did it for all the bulletin board systems. Wildcat was one of them. And over years, I became more exclusive of a developer for Wildcat, and I didn't burn any bridges there, and eventually by 1998, I purchased a company. It's like the old Gillette commercial, you believe in it so much that you eventually buy it. And since 1998, we've been, making the product more Internet ready. It has your web server. You can not only dial into it, but, you could use the web, Telnet. It has a GUI application called Wildcat Navigator. So it's basically the same old BBS system with your user mail, file database in the back end, coupling it with multiple ways connecting to it now, not just dial-up. Our primary customer database today are corporations that still use it as a dial-up system for private client-user interfacing.
Hector, when isn't it true that upon your acquisition of, basically you bought the source code from the prior company that owned it, wasn't it true that the product was pretty stagnant at that point? And I guess the thing that has amazed me since you have taken over the product is the number of enhancements that you've made over the years and how it is such a remarkably different product today than what it was then.
Yeah, well, I always believe that the BBS market, kind of started it off for us, and then the internet came, and it kind of like made host systems more anonymous. You didn't have to log in. You could have set up a web page, and you just users connect to that page. The idea of logging into it was pretty, it was not really done, during the early internet days. So a BBS concept was sort of like ahead of its time, and, today you see, more and more of these sites, having logging in a requirement. You have to, it's more of a social network again.
Right.
And so it was ahead of its time, and I kind of saw that, and so when Mustang was kind of like going, the previous company that owned it, were going in different directions and kind of like forgetting this powerful product they were developing, this old BBS-style system for the Internet in 1996, it was like 5 or 6 years ahead of its time, and I believed in it, and I took my chances, and made a proposal to the company and said, hey, let me take over it, and we put some numbers on the table, and I purchased the product line from them, the Wildcat product line, the entire system, and they were offering other products as well, but we were just interested in the Wildcat product line, because they had basically everything, a host system, a dial-up system, an internet system, a mail system, and it was all integrated. It was your early intranet.
Right.
It was just ahead of its time, and it also had an automatic update system that was, today a lot of people are cramming for, where you could buy this product, install it, and, subscribe to the auto-update system, and you automatically get updates, So, I'm an engineer, in heart, and I like quality. So, I concentrated in making sure that all the bugs were out of it, and enhance some, the features that was best, or mostly popular with the users, and sat in that direction of making the product work, for the internet. And it got better over time, and I think the customers, appreciated that high quality and support and product quality.
I know as a longtime user of WinServer that the quality of the system, or basically the stability of the code, is amazing. I do a lot of travel, and I leave the house, and I leave for 80 days, and I come back home, and the system's sitting there and it's still hammering away without any problems. And, yeah. Granted, people are going to have hardware problems from time to time, but, all in all, it's an amazingly stable product. And I know that one thing that we have all started to see within the last couple of years was the increase in spam. And I know that it was becoming almost unmanageable, and I know there's a lot of tools that are out there today that are doing spam at the desktop level, but a lot of internet service providers and stuff are not attacking spam, at their level. Some are, but many are not. And I think the beginning of 2004, I believe, you kind of made spam enemy number one, maybe a little bit before that even.
Yeah.
And I'll just prelude a comment, and I'll let you go into what you did to combat spam, but I don't have a spam issue no more, and it's because of the work that you've done, and I'm going to let you explain to the listeners, and I think this is the core of the thing I wanted to get into today, is talk about your development of what you call WCSAP.
Okay. Yeah. Well, a little just background there. I'm a very ethical person when it comes to software design. And the tradition in electronic mail communications is that once somebody sends you a piece of data and it's accepted by the host system, you really are not responsible for that anymore. At least that's my belief, okay? I'm talking about the software is not supposed to be touching that mail anymore. So if you're going to put any security behind it, it has to be done at the delivery process. There's actually laws behind that. That's that's molded from the United States Electronic Communication Privacy Act that started in 1986. It basically says if you're going to accept a piece of message, you better deliver it. But if you're going to reject it, you got to do it at that transaction level. It's basically the idea of a mailman coming to your house. You're either going to accept the letter he's going to deliver to you, or you don't. If you accept it, then it's your responsibility at that point. So the WCSAP is based on that idea that if we're going to add some security, we're going to do it at the transaction. Because we're not responsible once that message comes in. Okay, once you accept it, we have to deliver it. So WCSAP, which basically stands for Wildcat Sender Authentication Protocol, is a suite of methods that basically looks at the envelope of a letter delivered to you. On the envelope you have the return address, you have the to address, the center of the envelope. And it's based on the idea of looking at that return address and validating it, making sure it's correct. And the spam problem is basically one that that's about 60-80% of your transactions are all spoofed. They're all fake addresses. Those return addresses are bad. So the idea is that if you can protect that address at the envelope letter at the moment it's being sent to you, okay, you're going to get a significant amount of spam blocking before the message is delivered to you. Basically, 2003 in the summer, I believe was the beginning where I decided to do something about this. And it all started with the Sorbig virus, where it was one of the first early email viruses that exploited the holes, the problems of the mean email system, otherwise called SMTP. And, basically it was faking your name. It would send a virus to somebody using your address. And if that system rejected the message, then it was bounced to you. The virus was depending on using fake addresses. And then you would see your messages, even spams that had your message in it coming from you. And I was seeing more and more of that.
It was crazy.
My own address, and I decided to do something about that. And that's where WCSAP started, looking at the return address of an envelope before it's actually accepted, before the message is accepted. It started with that, and it incorporates other technologies called SPF, SPF, Sender Policy Framework, which is a method of checking the domain of an address before you actually validate the return address. So when you couple all these technologies that WCSAP incorporates, you get a very high effective rejection rate. Now, in our system, we get as high as 98%. I mean, what is spam? I mean, we don't get complaints like that anymore.
That's true, and I think that the test and the statistics we ran here, we had 97.5% was catching it at the door before it got in, and like you said, it was it was those spoofed emails and the false return addresses that it just basically eliminated our spam issue. But
right. WCSAP concentrate at the SMTP transaction level. We also added a mail filtering system so that it allows developers to write rules and administrators to write rules using WC Basic, which is a programming language. We don't have responsibility of looking at the mail content, so we pass that on to the administrators and third-party developers. And we call that SMTP filter, which is after WCSAP accepts the envelope credentials and the process accepts the message, you can actually run the SMTP filter. And with that, a lot of the people have integrated like McAfee, Norton AV, and Spam Assassin to get the messages that fall through, you know. And,
right.
Oh, together, I mean, very effective anti-spam virus system.
Yeah, I'm using both parts of that from the third-party developer and also of the work you've done, and it's been amazing. And my the people that are on getting email through us are quite happy that they don't have to deal with the spam issue. And you know, and I look through the logs, I really do, and I look to see on my personal side what is, you know, what is caught. And it's basically, you know, I have out of maybe thousands of messages, maybe one that has gotten, you know, rejected incorrectly, and it's maybe because it was a newsletter or something like that. So we just added a rule that allowed that one through, and we've done that for our customer base too. And we ask them up front, what are you subscribing to? And they give us some information, and we try to include rules for them so that in case there isn't a, you know, a right response from the server that the mail is coming from, that we can still get the mail through. And it's really very simple.
Right, we've been doing this now for over a year, you know, with lots of customers, you know, testing it and everything. We've come to learn one thing. Spammers don't complain.
True.
You know, so if there's a problem, you know, like a false positive, you know, something got rejected incorrectly, you're going to hear, you know, about it from a legit system.
That's true.
You know, you're going to get a report of some kind, and you're going to get an email from, you know, from a different direction, or somebody calls you up. But one thing for sure, your spammers are not going to call you up and say, hey, I can't deliver my spam to you. And they're not going to complain, you know, and that's a good thing, I guess. You know?
Right.
And that's part of it, you know. It's a lot of people say that, well, they just haven't adapted. Well, if they adapt, then that's what we want. The problem is that they're exploiting the holes that we have in there now in the SMTP process. You know, and they don't have a reason to adapt now because the holes are there. Well, if you begin to close the holes, then they have to adapt. And the goal here is to make them adapt in our direction.
Right. Now, I know that you've worked with some of the standards boards, and what kind of resistance or what kind of positive feedback have you gotten from some of the standards boards? I know that some companies are going a little different direction. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, that's been a battle. You know, the IATF, for example, the Internet Engineering Task Force, you know, kind of manages the standards, the rules, developing the guidelines for developing open standard protocols. And I went in there with an open mind. Hey, let's get this thing solved as problems. And one of the things I did was using a callback mechanism, which basically, you know, let's check that address. Let's check. Somebody says this message from XYZ person. Well, let's check that address. And, you know, I believe that's a good method. And there was a lot of resistance in using that method, and, you know, other ideas were proposed. And, you know, those ideas, well, they're not quite working, you know. So, but we incorporate one of them called SPF, and it does a good job. But the SPF just says, is the domain legit? Is the domain, is this machine from this IP address who's using this domain allowed to use this domain? It doesn't check the user part, the name of the user. Okay, so let's say, for example, BillGates@Microsoft.com could be authenticated using SPF. Well, Joe Blow person at Microsoft.com, it will also be authenticated. So it doesn't check the full address.
Right.
That has always been my concern. And I always felt that the Internet Engineering Task Force really didn't concentrate in that one area. Okay. There's a lot of proposals out there, like the challenge response system, that basically checks the address, but that's a delayed mechanism. You know, you got to accept the message, and then check the address using some process. You know, where it sends you another message saying, "Hey, we got this message from you. You got to click this to, you know, to complete the process." You know, Well, that's workable, I guess, but I don't think a lot of companies want to use that. That's kind of a pain to have to press a click something, another button to send a message, you know. So I've always believed that the ultimate solution is one that that kind of check that full address at the SMTP level. There's a lot of ideas. Another one called Sender ID, which is what Microsoft did, kind of clones or borrows from SPF, kind of adds to it. And that's kind of a complex there, but basically SendID requires you to send that payload to accept the message. Again, you know, like I mentioned early on, we don't take responsibility of that message once it's accepted. Well, we try to minimize our responsibility. SendID promotes that idea. Let's send the entire message, then you check what's going on with it. Well, you know, that presents a lot of problems. Number one, you know, that could present a bandwidth problem if everybody started doing that.
Right.
Okay. And second, it just, on a technical merits, it really doesn't quite work. You know, it there's problems with it. It makes some assumptions that are really just not there. And it's easy to break. It really doesn't justify accepting the payload to do a sender ID. So we don't support sender ID, and I make that known in the internet forums out there. And why? And I believe it hasn't been adopted by really anybody. AOL mentioned that they have supported, and others like Sendmail, and I'm not sure if Earthlink and others begin to support. I believe they're doing it from a marketing standpoint, more so really believing that it will work.
Right.
Okay. You know, hey, we support the Microsoft Sender ID idea. You know, well, I just maybe wrong for me, but we're not going to do that.
Okay.
We're not going to accept that really bad technical proposal and put our customers in jeopardy. You know, with a bad idea.
And I know that the solution you have in place now works. You know, and it's been absolutely effective, and I haven't been spam free for an entire year. And I know that there's a lot of technical people listening to this podcast, and I think that they're probably going to want to know what are the requirements that they need, and what are the requirements to run WinServer?
Well, WinServer is an integrated package, so it's, it has its own web server, mail server, telnet server, FTP server. You don't have to use any of those parts, but it comes, as a complete out-of-the-box package. And so if you're going to use WinServer, you know, you have to make a decision if you're going to switch over from another package, you know, that does all this, you know. To use WCSAP, you have to use the Wildcat mail server.
Right.
Essentially. You don't have to use the web part of it. You don't have to use the FTP part of it. We plan down the road to kind of like separate some of these. We're not 100% sure, if we're going to really do that, but it's, we're talking about it, separating the package. That was one of the things that Mustang was trying to do early on, because back then when they had it, it was a complete integrated package, and it did everything, for everybody, so, and they began to, like, break it apart, if you recall, they called it the Web Essentials.
Right.
And I believe that was one of the reasons it started selling less. I've always believed in the integrated system, and I believe if you look at the internet, that's what a lot of people are doing. They're going back to that integrated system where a website will include uploads and file download file system, a webmail system, a login system, a user database behind it where you had to log in, a little social networking behind it, bulletins, news bulletins, and maybe they add a little mail file distribution system that you call today RSS. What does it call stand for? RSS? You
right.
Click on a button and you send your mail and files through this XML format. It sounds like the old system reinvented.
True.
So getting the Wildcat package, means that you're kind of devoting yourself to an integrated system.
And I know that I've always described it as a one-stop shop, and it's perfect for small businesses. Even
absolutely.
I know you've got a lot of corporates that use the package itself. But I've liked it from a standpoint that I have never had to worry. You know, it's been a secure product. I don't have to worry about putting in security bug updates. As far as I know, in the entire time I've been running WinServer, there has never been a WinServer breach security-wise. And that's
no system's perfect, absolutely.
True.
I'm not going to lie. It's not in the popularity of a Microsoft or a
right.
Apache. So you're not going to get the wide distribution of hackers.
Right, coming after
it. If you make attention to Wildcat, hackers are going to say, well, let's see if we can do something here.
Right.
But, overall, the engineering behind the package has been, top-notch. That is number one. Since I'm the chief engineer, I'd rather delay something and get it right before than push it out there just for the meeting a deadline. I don't have to hold up to anybody, so I can afford that type of thing.
Right.
Bugs are any system, and we found a few. Customers have found a few, and it hasn't been breached at the levels like a Microsoft, like Code Red, for example. Those type of things have never been breached.
So I know that you're actively working with the system. What are your plans for the future for the product?
Basically, some of the immediate stuff right now, because of the increased popularity, a lot of people, a lot of people coming to it for mail. We're getting a lot of corporate systems are using it for private file exchange, with their clients, and there are a lot of people using it for the FTP part of it. So we're going to concentrate on a few areas. We're going to add like a blog system to it. We're going to increase the mail database to a 64-bit system, so to support a larger database system. We're going to integrate the RRS into it. It has RSS already, but we're going to make it available from an API standpoint so the developers can write tools for it.
I think you probably just got the attention of several thousand people by mentioning weblogs and RSS integration in an API. And I think you and I have talked on some on your discussion forum about that a little bit. And I think that's, for me, is one of the exciting things that you're considering doing down the road here.
Yeah, honestly, Wildcat has always had a conference system, and I guess it took a while for me to understand what is a blog. I mean, it's just a mail system, but I guess I'm looking at it from a different point of view now. Say, hey, there's some value here. I think we can, add some features to Wildcat and to offer blogging. And we already began that effort, and I think we'll have something very exciting very soon.
Well, that sounds terrific. Hector, go ahead and give some contact numbers and the website information and so that people know how to contact you.
Okay. Our product is called Wildcat Interactive Net Server, or AKA WinServer. We're at www.centronics.com, which is our sales site, or our support site at www.winserver.com. And we can always reach our headquarters at 305-248-3204 and speak to my lovely wife, Andrea Santos.
And Hector, what I'll do is I'll put all that information up on the site with the show today. Okay. So that so that we can get some link through to you. And I hope that we have some interest. And I'll be quite honest with you, Hector. I want to drive some business your way. You've been you've developed a great product, and I'm a full supporter behind what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate it.
Is there anything else you want to add today that maybe we didn't cover? Or
I don't know. I guess I said a lot.
Yeah, you did, and I tell you, it's. I think from my working notes here, I think we've covered everything. But I want to thank you for being on the show today, and I hope we drive some traffic your way.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So what did you all think of the interview? I hope you enjoyed it. And that going to bring us up to about 35 minutes at this point, and we want to start wrapping the show up. Again, if you have any comments, please send them to geek@geeknewscentral.com. or Skype me at Geek News Central, or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365, and leave us your comments on the show. We really want to hear those. And I'll be honest, the voicemail line hasn't been getting as much utilization as I thought it would, and if it doesn't, we'll cancel it, and I'll keep the money. So give that voicemail line a call, and drop your comments, and we'll play them here on the show. But I'm going to play you a little clip from GarageBand.com. It's Already Gone by Spear, and we'll wrap this up, and I will be talking to you again tomorrow morning with a regular edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Thank you for listening, and have a happy holidays.
She's the one, one out from the rain. Don't get yourself, you know you're flooded in. So sad that you're leaving. My heart says it gone. So sad that you're leaving. Baby, you're already gone. Already gone. Left open, my mind, how the cold is drawn in. So you said that you're leaving. My heart says you're gone. Baby,